Peter and the Jailbirds, Chapter 13, Bring Him Home. May stared at the phone, because if she stared at it long and hard enough, it would ring again, with Peter's grinning face at the other end of the line. Pepper slid a glass of water across the counter. Drink, she said. May drank. Once upon a time, she'd sat in a police station with Peter, shoulder to shaking shoulder in the cheap metal chairs as he had stuttered through his story. An officer, she'd forgotten his name, had tried to forget everything about that night, had brought her a pointy-ended cup of water from the cooler and told her to drink and to put her head between her knees if she felt like she might faint. She hadn't felt faint. She'd wanted to jump back in time and see him again, to move to a different borough, to the suburbs, to some tiny cornfield town where the sheriff's log listed speeding tickets instead of homicides. She'd wanted to find the mugger and create just a little more space. 3 inches would do, or maybe a whole city block, between his head and his neck. She didn't do any of that. Instead, she'd pulled a tissue from her pocket, handed it to Peter, and tried to wrap her head around the idea of a world with just the two of them. Should I, Peter said, still shaking, move out? I mean, Ben was the one who, you're not even related to me, you don't have to. What do you fucking mean we aren't related? May asked, because Ben was no longer there to tell her that maybe, just maybe, she could try to talk a little more like Midtown and a little less like Queens. You're our kid, my kid. She took him by the shoulders and leaned in close until she could only see one of his huge brown puppy eyes. Peter, I know I'm not your mom. I could never take her place. But as long as you want me in your life, I will be there. With bells on, you will always belong with me. May, Peter's voice cracked. I... It's okay, May said and hugged him close. It's going to be okay, I promise. If you say it, Ben always says, had always said, often enough and you try to believe it, it will be true. No, Peter said, shaking his head against her shoulder. What happened out there? I'm sorry, May rasped. I'm so sorry, sweetheart. You should never have had to have seen that. I know it must have been terrifying. I should have. You did exactly the right thing. May leaned back and cupped Peter's face in her hands. You called 911. You stayed with him. You told the paramedics what had happened. What else could you possibly have done? Peter just looked at her with those huge brown puppy eyes, red-rimmed and drowning. There was something else in his eyes now, something she'd seen a few times in the last month, but she didn't know how to ask what it was. Teenagerhood, angst and secrets and too many changes, too fucking fast. He'd talked to Ben. He trusted Ben. He told Ben his secrets. She didn't know how to get him to talk to her. I will always love you, May said, instead of, oh God, please help me. Okay? No matter what. Peter closed his eyes. May brushed her thumb across his cheek to wipe away his tears. He fell forward and hugged her again, just a little too tight, his whole body shaking. Peter. Superhero. Superhero Peter. It just didn't add up. What do you mean, you're Spider-Man? May asked again, like the broken record that had once told her 14 times that she couldn't always get what she wanted before she'd finally danced across the room to switch the record. Do you want me to show you again? Peter asked wearily. Maybe, but seeing him walk across the ceiling again wouldn't help her stop feeling like she'd tripped into a bizarre, overcaffeinated nightmare. I don't understand, she said at last. Why didn't you tell me? Spider-Man's been around for, what, a year now? 10 months. Of course, May said, lips twisting in a bitter line. I should have guessed that. That's when you started sneaking out at night. God, I thought it was just, you know, grief does weird things to people. You needed some space, somewhere to think, to be alone. Or maybe you'd found people you could cut loose a little with, I don't know. Peter scraped at the peeling edge of one of the placemats as though he could just duck his head beneath the curl of plastic and disappear. Why didn't you tell me? May asked again. I know you don't trust me the way you trusted Ben. That's okay. I get it. We're not as close as you two were. That's not it. I do trust you, May. Then why didn't you tell me? Peter's lip trembled. Peter, just tell me. Whatever it is, It's okay, we'll figure it out, but you have to talk to me, please. I killed Ben, he whispered. For a moment, May just stared at him. What? She said. Peter bit his lip hard. May sank into the kitchen chair. Talk, she said. In halting, half-cracked words, Peter told her the story. The foggy night, the convenience store brightly lit, the shrieking danger in the back of his neck, the muggers, the terror that had frozen his feet to the sidewalk, Ben's blood, hot in his hands, spilling out onto the ground. I'm sorry, he said, voice cracking halfway through the words. I'm so sorry. Oh, May said. She stood up, carefully balancing against the back of the chair, and walked to her room and closed the door behind her. Peter stood in the middle of his room, trying to pack. He didn't even know where to go. He hadn't texted anyone. Every time he tripped over the idea of not living with May anymore all alone, it's all over. His brain did a full system reboot, as though that could possibly change the situation. He'd known he was living on borrowed time. He'd known that he didn't deserve the easy warmth of her love, buying him new backpacks and asking him about his day as though he hadn't irreparably ruined her life. May knocked on his door. Crap. Peter grabbed his backpack and tried to zip it up, but the laces of his sneakers got caught in the zipper. He just crushed it to his chest instead, jumped onto his desk, pushed the window open. The door opened. What the hell are you doing? May shrieked. Running away, his brain yelled, shoving his butt towards the open air. Peter froze, one leg out the window. Peter, May held out her hands as though placating a wild animal. Come back. Please, come inside. Please, sweetheart, I'm not mad at you. Don't leave. I'm sorry, Peter rasped. I have to leave. I'm so sorry. I know, May said. Her hair stuck out in odd directions all over her head. She'd been crying, he knew that, he'd heard her. It's not your fault, honey. Please, just... let's talk, okay? Don't run away. Peter's brain jumped out the window. Peter's treacherous hands dropped the bag onto his desk instead. It spilled out everywhere, just a few probably clean boxers, and an energy bar, and a pair of sneakers, and a physics textbook, and a faded t-shirt, and a graphing calculator. He stood frozen on the desk, staring down at her, hands braced against the window behind him. You did the best you could, May said, voice trembling in that way it did when she was about to cry. But I didn't, Peter croaked. That's the problem, I didn't. Peter. May cleared a space on his bed, sat down, and patted the bedspread next to her. Come here. Peter sat on the far end of the bed and pulled his knees up to his chest. You've been living with this for months now, May said. Peter nodded. Oh, honey, May's voice caught. I'm so sorry. Stop. Just stop. Don't do this. Don't do what? Pretend to forgive me. I fucked up. I know that. I can't undo it. Peter's stupid-ass voice cracked. I killed your husband. I ruined your life. You didn't kill Ben. The mugger... I could have stopped him. Who held the gun? May asked. I could have... Who pulled the trigger? That's not... Not what? May asked. Not what? The only fucking fucker of a fuckhead who is responsible is the mugger, and he's in jail now. He's gone, remember? He got caught trying to mug someone again, caught red-handed by Spider- She stopped short and blinked at Peter. Peter bit his lip. Oh, May said. Peter closed his eyes to shut in the stupid-ass tears that refused to stay in his stupid-ass tear ducts where they belonged. Oh, May said. Oh, fuck. The bed dipped in front of Peter as she slid closer, then wrapped her arms around him. He buried his face in her shoulder, hugged her back, and cried. A few hours later, Peter was perched cross-legged on the kitchen counter, inhaling mac and cheese from a gigantic cereal bowl. May leaned against the counter next to him, eating her own normal-sized share of fluorescent orange goo. A cacophony of honking rose up from the street below, accompanied by the usual shouting and mayhem, then faded out just as quickly as it had begun. When she looked up, Peter was stacking as many X-Wing noodles onto his fork as he could, making one tall stack of skewered spaceships dripping with cheese. May snickered. Peter caught her eye with a tentative grin. Old habits die hard? At least you're not counting them. Hey, that was good math practice, Peter protested. At least it was when I was little. And, how do you know I'm not counting them? How many? May sighed. 43. And a half on one fork. New record. Congratulations. Thanks. Peter shoved the whole forkful into his mouth. As May laughed, Peter hopped off the counter in an awkward gangle of limbs and went to wash his bowl and the pasta pot in the kitchen sink. May watched him, fork poised on the rim of her bowl.
"You don't have to do that," she said at last.
Peter glanced back over his shoulder. "Do your chores, Peter. Always, Peter. Have you washed the dishes yet, Peter? That means you, Peter." "Not that," May said. "The clumsiness." Peter's hands slowed, then stopped, dripping with suds. "You didn't do that when you were showing me what you can do," May said. "I've seen the videos, TV. I know you're not like that on the streets." Peter nodded. "No more secrets, okay? Please, just be..." May waved a hand. "Who you are." "I thought you wanted me to stop being Spider-Man." Peter finished washing the pot and set it on the dish rack. "Dangerous and irresponsible and too young and..." "If Ben had seen you," May rasped, "he'd have been so proud." Peter turned around and stared at May with those huge eyes again, shoulders hunched a little like she'd punched him in the gut, mouth working on soundless words. "You heard me," May said. Peter launched himself across the kitchen and wrapped her into a tight hug, hands tangled in a towel behind her back. "I'm proud of you too," May whispered into his hair. "Do your chores, Peter. That means you, Peter," May had added to the list of conditions for continued superhero activity, right after the fourth condition, "Thou shalt maintain your grades." "But really," May had told Peter, "I'm not that worried about you keeping up in school. You've been doing fine. What worries me is when your teachers tell me you've been falling asleep in class. When you fall asleep during movie night. I mean, you have to take care of yourself first. Oxygen mask and all that, you know?" She pointed to condition the third. "Sleep at least 7 hours a night, at least 6 days per week. Whatever it takes, cutting patrol short to get to bed on time, talking about what happened so you don't dream about it, do it. Peter's just as important as Spider-Man. More important, you have your own life to live." Which is why all of the conditions, including number two, "Tell me when you get hurt or so help me God, I'll..." really boiled down to the first commandment on the list. "Thou shalt come home safely." "They'll bring him back safe," Pepper said. "Sam's a fantastic medic, and the Quinjet's got everything you could possibly need on board, and more. You know how Tony is. They'll bring him home. He'll be okay." "If Peter..." May couldn't finish the sentence. "I'll hunt Ross down, cut his balls off, and fry them into niches." Pepper nodded. "I'll see if I can dig up my great-grandmother's recipe," she said. "Best I've ever had." "Thanks," May said, and blew her nose.